Welcome back to another episode of Classroom to Calm, where we have discussions around health and wellness that are not to be, they're supposed to, the goal with this is to get you ready to take care of yourself over the weekend, recharge, reset, get ready for another week of class starting on Monday. So we post these on Friday. They're a little bit different than our other show, Fit to Teach, which is more
formal.
Formal?
We keep it cash.
I was going to say aggressive, but aggressive is not the right term. It's more, yeah, get out there and do things. Yeah. And this is more like slow down, chill, make sure you're sleeping, make sure you're taking care of yourself, make sure you're checking in with yourself, because that's a huge part of wellness. And we know, we have the evidence, like so many different studies that show that teachers experience really high levels of burnout. And we're trying to address all these aspects of wellness with our teacher wellness program. That includes personalized fitness explorations in the Leap Lab. So if you haven't come into the lab, check your mailbox. Nathan, I'm here with the lab intern. Nathan, what's up?
What's up?
And this week, which we are, what are we doing? We're recording this on the week of the 11th.
Yeah.
December 11th. And Nate went around to all the schools in the school district yesterday putting informational flyers into teachers' mailboxes. So make sure to be on the lookout for those and reach out at humanperformancelab@eou.edu. And
N.E. Marshall.
Or N.E.
Marshall.
And is it Nathan?
@eou.edu. And those flyers are pretty gnarly. So appreciate that.
Nathan's real proud of himself for this.
Kyle helped me with one of them.
One of them was terrible. And then we got it cleaned up.
Yeah.
The other one you got, we'll let the listeners decide which one that they found.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which one they found. Which one do you think I had to redo? Yeah. You can tell us when you come in for testing.
Yes.
So we're making sure that we're plugging that because we want to get as many people in as possible. We've already had 5 or 6 people in this year. I think people are having a really good experience. Nathan's getting his lab skills dialed in and things are really rolling. Take advantage of that. It's probably $400 to $600 of testing on the open market that you get and for free. So come in and do it. Okay, so on Mondays in Fit to Teach, we really specifically shout out a research article. We talk about that topic. We create action items around that topic. For Classroom to Calm, we want to keep it evidence-based, but it's a little less formal, as Nathan said earlier. So the article that Nathan actually chose for today, and again, we're not totally going to stick to this, but where we got some of the basis of this idea is an article called The Effects of Sleep on Memory for Conditioned Fear and Fear Extinction. First author was a person named Edward Pace, and he is out of Harvard. Mm-hmm. And so this was a collaboration between General Hospital, Harvard Medical General Hospital, Department of Psychology at Harvard Medical, and then also the University of Pittsburgh. And it's fitting that this was an in-depth look and analysis of the impact of sleep, because University of Pittsburgh, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, has like probably the world's premier sleep study center.
Did not know.
Yeah, University of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in studying sleep, take a look at that program. Anyways, turned out we picked this. Nathan picked this.
It's out of my league.
Based on tell us what happened when you picked this. Because it ended up, when I opened it and started diving into the full article, it's like a 45-page behemoth.
Yeah, so it's like, so I looked through the articles on PubMed. And a lot of the...
PubMed's like a database for peer-reviewed research that he is.
Most of the research that I'm picking through is extremely complicated and way out of my wheelhouse. So I found an article on sleep and anxiety that looked really interesting. And like I read the abstract, so okay, this makes sense. And then I sent it to Kyle. He's like, dude. So I had to do... And it has a lot to do with like fear extinction memory and different types of memory stuff. And I was somewhat familiar with it. The word sounded familiar to me from taking psychology classes. But did I know what it meant in terms of this article? Not really. But to my defense, Kyle also looked stuff up too. So it's not just
not me. Sleep expert.
Yeah. It's just so we're both, I guess I'll speak for myself. I was like, I'd look some stuff up and figure some stuff out and learn some new vocabulary. And that happens a lot with these research papers and something that I've gotten used to with reading these harder papers for different classes.
Totally. That's the whole point.
What we're trying to do is not, the reality is, hopefully this isn't too meta, but the reality is that we, like at the university and in higher education, we are not the gatekeepers of information anymore. It used to be that you had to be at a place that had a library with the physical copies of things that you needed to learn and read from and talking to the specific people that had the knowledge in those areas in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowledge is out there.
Mm-hmm.
We can all access it on the internet. We are teaching you basic things and things to look for and things like that, but we're also teaching you how to learn. And I think that's a big part of education now. And it's something I have to do. I didn't know a lot of this stuff when we looked at it, but because of our training and because of our skills, we're comfortable reading it and learning some things and then talking about our experience. So in no way, shape, or form are we saying that we are the leaders or experts on sleep and fear extinction. Barely even knew what that was, but we learned a lot and we're going to share that with you and hopefully give you some information to ponder moving forward.
Can you define fear extinction and what it meant in terms of this article?
Sure.
So, I need a refresher.
Yeah. So my understanding is that for a variety of reasons, we develop fear around certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to, so let's say, I think one of the examples they used in the paper was around a fear of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say there's this conditioned fear of spiders. And people that are like psychology majors and neurobiology experts are going to be cringing at all of this. So just bear with us and don't quote us. Anyways. How's that for like confidence inspiring?
There you go.
This is everyone's just dying to spend their next 13 minutes listening to our breakdown of this. So fear extinction is this idea that, for example, you can use what's called exposure therapy. So if you have this built-in, innate, like really well-defined neural highway that I see a spider, I have a fear response. I have a stress response. So heart rate goes up, palms get sweaty. So you have this initial fear response, and then one of the things that's been demonstrated is you can undergo different types of cognitive behavioral therapy or things like exposure therapy where you slowly become more comfortable with the idea of spiders. So does the word spider stress you out? Let's make you write the word spider and get you exposed to this until your stress response. Now, I want to be very clear here. I do not recommend someone taking on their own exposure therapy all on their own. You need to work with a licensed mental health professional that has experience in these areas. This is super, super important. It's trying to add to the concepts and ideas and awareness of some of these topics. And basically what happens is over time, you can get over that fear. So fear of flying, fear of spiders, whatever it is, through this process of exposure therapy. And when a person can function in the face of this fearful stimulus, they define that as fear extinction. So condition, one of the ways to put it would be, and I'm just quoting here, conditioned fear responses are reduced through repeated exposure to fear-inducing stimulus without an aversive outcome.
Yeah.
So you basically stop having the same response to the thing that you used to have a high response to.
Mm-hmm.
What I found really cool is that the fear, the memory of the fear never goes away necessarily. It's just overridden by this new understanding that the thing you used to be afraid of is not actually something to be afraid of and respond to in the way that you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you got out of it?
That's what I got too. I'm thinking now, so they talked about like specific fear of like spiders or like, I'm thinking of things that like people are commonly, I don't know, some people are afraid of dogs, big dogs, and
yep,
things like that. So,
and a lot of times they're afraid of those things because of adverse experiences.
Yes, exactly.
At some point.
So I'm thinking too, like, what about like just generalized anxiety? So stressed about worse on Monday.
Yes. So we'd have to look specifically more of like general anxiety and just baseline anxiety and on edge feeling and what sleep can do to that. Have a pretty good hypothesis.
Like, yes.
I think it's sleep's really important for mental health.
Yeah.
Is basically what this is coming down to.
Yeah.
And having good sleep hygiene is what we call it. Now we can get into kind of what is our wheelhouse a little bit more, where having good sleep hygiene means having good habits around sleep. And we'll do more episodes on this, where what is a good sleep routine? What's circadian rhythm? What's circadian disruption? Talked about it in season one a little bit with Anya, the intern from last year. But we can revisit that stuff because I think it's super interesting.
Yeah.
The point is with this is that sleep is super important. And one of the things the article talks about, in addition to like fear extinction, those types of things, is the critical role of sleep in like PTSD, for example, post-traumatic stress disorder, and the critical role of staying well-regulated, staying on top of your mental game. Sleep is one of those things that's super, super important. And my idol, LeBron James, I talk about, Nate's laughing because I talk about LeBron all the time in class. I just think he's awesome. One of my favorite lines from LeBron is, because he takes the sleep very seriously and he gets a certain amount of sleep every night, and he also builds in naps to his schedule. Now he's a professional athlete and a billionaire, and so he can dictate his own schedule. So that aside, though, he's got this quote that says, "I can't show up for the people I care about the most unless I'm at my best, and I can't be at my best unless I've gotten good sleep." And there's other athletes that, there's people that don't need as much sleep. That's just a fact. I am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. I have to get a ton of sleep. And I also feel way better if I catch up on sleep on the weekend. And so we've also talked about catching up on exercise on the weekend, though. And you also want some downtime and relaxation time on the weekend. So there's a lot to kind of balance here. And I know we throw a lot at you with some of these different, with some of these different aspects, but I thought this was super interesting. I learned a bunch of new stuff. Specifically about fear extinction.
Yeah.
Didn't really know that it's not you're making the old fear go away. It's more that you're building tolerance to it in a new way. And the way to consolidate that and solidify it is through good sleep.
Yeah.
One of the ways.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was trying to get down to. I threw the information into a summary. And some of the key takeaways for adults as we think about the role of sleep and how important sleep is in mental wellness. We talked about enhancing REM sleep, so that's deep sleep, with good sleep hygiene and targeted intervention. It could strengthen extinction, so getting rid of those old fear memories, as well as reducing fear responses.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of undergoing things like exposure therapy and tools to reduce anxiety will be more effective with sleeping. And then addressing sleep disturbances and improving sleep may impact other conditions like PTSD and stuff like that. But overall, it's a good night's sleep will often give you new perspective.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not always about pushing through, it's knowing when to stop and saying, I'm not being productive anymore. I'll be more productive once my mind is rested.
Yeah.
And there's a lot out there about being more prepared and being able to handle stress much better when we're well rested.
Yeah.
And make that part of your routine.
I think too, like, we can bridge it all back because we proposed some exercise programs.
Sure.
That could be stressful, and I get stressed about certain aspects of my training. I'm like, oh, I have a long run, I'm nervous, I don't feel ready. And like, so I'm kind of bridging the gap here. But if some of you guys are feeling a little stressed out or anxious about your program that you're going through, aiding, you know, sleep could help with that anxiety. Yeah. Right.
And just exposing yourself to that stimulus.
Yeah.
Again, we're not offering counseling advice here, therapeutic advice here, but what we're trying to do is show you how all these things are really connected. Mm-hmm. We talk about diet. We talk about exercise. We talk about mental wellness. We talk about sleep. And it can all seem overwhelming. And it also can cause, the way you're saying, just this information could be a source of stress. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? What we're trying to do is really present things to you in this way where, okay, can I build this in some way to my current life? Can I do it in a sustainable and less of a disruptive way? And over time, these things become your new kind of routine and your new reality, and they will support you and increase your effectiveness. Mm-hmm. So that if you say, I don't have time, I only have time to sleep 4 hours a night, but that's affecting your productivity mm-hmm. during the day, and it's making you so tired that you can't exercise. So now it's taking you two or three times along to like grade papers or do tasks that could be done much more efficiently if you were well rested. Is it really that you don't have time to sleep at night, or would actually, and I'm not even going to say sacrificing work to get more sleep. That's not the way we should be thinking. We don't earn rest. We don't earn the right to exercise. This is your right. You get time to exercise and be healthy. You have the right to choose healthy foods, and you have the right to the right amount of rest. Mm-hmm. And yes, work is hard. It's super stressful. There's a lot to do. People are counting on you. Kids are counting on you. There's stress from different types of areas. But the reality is you can show up in all those areas better if you're taking time for yourself with 20, 30 minutes exercise a day during the week, couple times lifting, and getting good sleep.
Yeah. I think too, this is more your wheelhouse, but it's also safe to say that sleep is important in recovery and inducing the physiological adaptations. And I'm sure there's something.
That's just it. The thing is, I know when I've exercised too hard because I don't sleep well. I know when I'm not exercising enough because I don't sleep well. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm nailing it, when I'm tired when I'm supposed to be tired, and I get sleep. Now, I'm a very kind of type A sort of person. So personally, what I experience is this feeling of guilt sometimes around like not getting enough done or not being productive. But I'm getting much, much better with a lot of work, especially with the help of professional therapists. I'm getting a lot better at recognizing, okay, this isn't productive anymore. You were focused throughout the day. I remember at one point where I was like, I had to take a couple breaks. I was doing like a bunch of grading or working on a project. And I was like, I just kept having to take all these breaks. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not being productive. And my therapist was like, breaks are normal. Like, and they're really important. And you end up being much more productive when you're taking care of yourself. And I hold that true. I'm also sensitive, not so much from a fear about particular things, but I am very sensitive to just like overall anxiety. And I know that I can tell when I'm not eating the way that I typically do, that makes me feel good. When I'm not exercising, I'm either exercising too hard, too much, or I'm not exercising enough. And when I'm not getting enough sleep, my anxiety goes up. It just does.
Yeah.
I don't know if you experience that as well.
No, and anxiety too. It's something that I've always dealt with, but I think I'm also type A too. So it's hard. I've always sacrificed sleep to be productive. Mm-hmm. And for example, like me, get exercise in the morning before classes. Maybe I won't have time throughout the day. And I'm trying to switch it in terms of making sleep like probably the number one priority.
Yeah.
Which is
so hard because it feels so unproductive.
Exactly. But this, it's kind of pretty similar in this kind of thing. I feel like we talk a lot about this kind of stuff, and we usually have similar viewpoints on this. So I guess my action items that I've been working on have been like, okay, maybe I'm going to not do the exercise that I was necessarily wanting to do today, but I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep instead of five.
Yep.
And that will correlate to the classroom. For me, it's like a lot of the stuff is like about school. Like, how focused can I be on my homework? How focused can I be on my internship stuff? How present can I be when I'm working with teachers in the lab? And for me, like, I need sleep to be fully present. And so that's where I'm, okay, this has to become a priority because it's impacting the people around me.
100%. Yeah. It's such a, and I've gone through phases because you'll see, you get inspired by people that don't need sleep and they seem healthy and they're successful and they talk about what makes them healthy and successful. And they say, I get up every day at 4 a.m. and I take a cold shower and then I do an exercise thing and then I eat this and then I do that. And it's all these people. And when I was a little bit younger and I would see these types of things, I would say, I would go, yeah, that's what it takes to be great. That's what it takes to whatever. And then I'd end up injured or sick or completely burned out. Or I would just be like, no, I don't have time for sleep. And so I'm going to sleep from 12 to 5 and I'm going to do all these things. Yeah. And it's unsustainable for me. I know, and I've accepted, I need 8,
yeah,
preferably 9 or 10 hours of sleep. And when I do that, I feel like a different person. It's, yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm so much more productive and I'm so much more motivated. Mm-hmm. And so if you're struggling with these things like burnout, motivation, fatigue, consider this type of shift where, again, it's your right to take care of yourself and your health.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to earn it. You don't have to all this. You don't earn rest. You don't earn food. Those things can make a big difference when you build them into your routine.
Yeah. Totally.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. So that brings us to the end of our Classroom to Calm. We'll be back on Monday with another Fit to Teach. What are we talking about on Monday? Oh, intermittent fasting, I think, is what's going to be coming up on Fit to Teach after this episode. So we will be back on Monday with another episode. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's resistance training
and then intermittent fasting. So those are the next two Fit to Teaches. And then we'll be back with another Classroom to Calm next week. And we'll actually be talking about vegetable intake and mental wellness. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Also, every other weekend, make sure you tune in to Turning Point.
Wednesday.
Every other Wednesday. Make sure you turn into Turning Point. Tune into Turning Point.
How to get his 10 hours.
Bro. You said it, man. You nailed it. I actually did it. Like, I used a little sleep tracker that my Apple Watch does. And I was like, I was in bed for 7.5, but I only slept 5:50 or something like that, or 6. Like, it wasn't a good night's sleep. So, yeah, you can tell. All right, y'all. We will see you next week for this, and we'll see you on Monday for Fit to Teach.
Have a great weekend.